Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, 110 marathons and counting.
I'd say the warmth and friendliness of the runners around you is what makes it so great. It makes you keep coming back. And honestly, it's worth the drive.
79 and setting records.
You know, if I can't get that workout within a couple of days, I'm not in good form. So it's something that I'm addicted to, I say.
And 6 marathons in one weekend.
For me, it's not so much to prove to myself how strong I am or how resilient I am. It's more to show to other people that really, that strength that people see in me, I don't often recognize in myself. But it all starts from taking that first step and believing that you have enough strength to take that next step.
All of that and more coming up on iRun Radio. We're joined now by the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hi, Ben.
Hello there.
And how was your marathon last weekend in Toronto? You did something really special. You didn't just run the marathon, but you ran it in a specific time to honor the legendary Ed Whitlock.
Yeah, it was quite a thing. I tell you, I was had a sign up, you know, with his name, and I was wearing a shirt that was mentioning him. So as I was on the course, you know, people would tell me when they saw him and relay their stories and say it was inspirational, and people would come up and take a picture standing next to me or touch the sign during that thing. It was, a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and it was a thrill and an honor for sure.
Yeah, and to give people the backstory, Ed Whitlock was an incredible runner who set all kinds of records for the fastest marathon at a whole bunch of different ages, most of them in his 70s and 80s. And he was an international star for that. He was from the Toronto area, and he set most of those records at the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon. And he passed away, how long ago now? 6 or 7 months ago?
Yeah, last March.
Yeah, and so this year was the first Toronto Marathon that he wasn't there participating, running. And so to honor him, I thought this was a great idea. First of all, they had a wall of inspiration with his picture on it several times, and people wrote messages and signed their names. And then beyond that, they had people like you running some of his record-setting times in the marathon for the various ages that he ran and set world records. And included in those world records, of course, was he was the oldest person ever to run under 3 hours when he was, in his 70s, right?
Yeah, and the only thing I would add to that, and all the running and all the times and all the things that he did at such an old age are all incredible and mind-boggling, but I don't think the celebration would be as impactful if the way he behaved and the way he carried himself and the sort of example he set wasn't equally as impressive.
Yeah,
I think his gentlemanly behavior and sort of courteous manner are I think what I miss most, you know, with the sport. We'll never find another one like him in both in performance and in sort of presence, if you will.
Yeah. And I had the chance, you and I both interviewed him many times over the years. He was in one of the first issues of iRun magazine going back maybe 9 years ago now. He was on the cover a few years ago. He's a special guy to both of us and to the whole running community in this country. And people just loved seeing him out there running. The thing that I'll always remember is he used to train by running loops around the cemetery near his house over and over again, not a very long distance, but he would just keep running the same loop over and over again for 3 hours at a time to train. So he didn't go out on these long runs and turn around and come back. He would just stay near his house and just run around the cemetery that happened to be near his house over and over again.
You and I have talked about this, I believe, that in some countries they do that to you when they capture you and imprison you. That's not something that someone would elect to do.
Yeah.
But, there you have it, to
yeah.
Each their own.
But his logic behind it, although it was monotonous, his logic behind it was that he never had to deal with the wind for an extended period of time because he was always turning. You know, he was running in a rectangle. And he was close to home if he needed to get home. And also the roads were always very quiet inside that cemetery. So it made sense to him.
But that was, and that's all that it has to do.
Yeah, and that was part of his charm and his eccentricities, yeah. I think, you know?
There you go.
Yeah,
for sure.
But you had a good experience at the race?
Oh, yeah. No, it was, I was glad when it was over. I was carrying a sign. It was, you know, people were talking to me and things. It's a long distance, a marathon, you know? You sort of get out there and it takes quite a while. But Yeah, I've got the bug. I'm in the process right now. I'm thinking about it, about going out to Las Vegas. I like the idea of them holding this half marathon in Las Vegas after everything that happened.
Right.
And obviously running is such a part of the world at large. And like when all of these things happen, you know, there's always these decisions to make. And we saw it in Boston. We saw it in New York. And, you know, they had to make one of these decisions now in Las Vegas. And they're going ahead with the run. And, you know, I think the race does something like it puts about $250 million into the local economy during the race week. And I just think that's pretty special. So that is November 11th. And if I can get the green light from my wife, I am
okay. Cool.
Packing my sneakers and hitting the road. Yeah, man.
All right.
Yep.
Well, good luck with that. Good luck.
Thank you.
I had a great time in Toronto. I ran the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon for the first time ever for me and had a great race and was very happy with it and loved the experience and the crowds and the people. And you and I met lots of runners at the expo in the iRun booth for a couple of days, and we actually interviewed some of them right there. We're going to be sharing some of those stories over the weeks ahead, including on today's show, this guy I introduced you to, Sanjay Mohanta, who's from Ottawa, who was running his 110th marathon. And what's great about Sanjay is not just about the marathons. He travels to these cities and he finds these peculiar things to visit while he's in each of these communities. He finds the odd little tourist attractions and the spots to go, and he meets lots of people there. And he's almost like partly a runner and partly a traveler.
Just when you think you've heard everything, you meet Sanjay, and that is part of what makes the job so incredible.
I mean,
different people find different things, and it's all good. You know, it's all this net positive. It brings a lot of joy in his life. He runs for a very personal reason and kept going for very personal reasons, and it's a fascinating story, and I'm pleased that we're able to share that.
Yeah. Also ahead on the show, we're going to talk to the incredible 79-year-old Florence Barron, who just did the Cape to Cabot run, 20K run in record time. She's setting age group records, kind of like Ed Whitlock. And we're also going to talk to Jean-Paul Bedard, JP, a guy you and I both know well, who last weekend in Toronto, when you and I were running one marathon and so many others were as well, he ran six.
Yeah. Be careful with him, though. I don't know if you see him on Facebook, but he posted something of his feet after that.
Ooh.
Minus the tone. Yeah, I don't know. Just scroll down. You should follow him on Facebook. He's a prolific poster, and he's got lots of inspirational things. But be warned that occasionally he'll post photographs of his feet after he runs six marathons, and if you've got dinner nearby, you will...
Right. Good advice.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. All right. Good stuff, Ben. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
That's Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, we're going to talk to a guy who did the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon last weekend. Not once, not twice, but six times. We'll be right back. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge, four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Welcome back to iRun Radio. JP Bedard has survived abuse in his childhood and many other challenges and obstacles in his life. He's become an outspoken advocate on mental health issues. And he's also an incredible runner who just keeps adding to his long list of accomplishments. Last weekend in Toronto, he didn't just do the marathon, he did it six times in 3 days. JP, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me back, Mark. It's always good to check in with you guys.
Absolutely. And look, before we talk about the incredible thing you did last weekend, let's share a little bit of your journey once again, because your story is incredible. You've shared it before, but talk to us about how you got to the point of doing these amazing things with running. Where did this all start for you? It really begins with the story of your childhood, doesn't it?
Yes, I'm a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, and I never really talked about it for most of my life, and it led to many years battling drug and alcohol addiction, and that kind of segued nicely into some pretty serious mental health issues. And then when I finally decided to get clean and sober, I fell into running. I mean, that's really the only way to describe it. I started training for a marathon with a couple of guys in the treatment program I was in, and you know, put a couple of addicts together, give them a positive goal, and, you know, usually good things happen. And all three of us qualified for Boston in that first marathon, and then the love affair with running kind of took over. So I spent, you know, a good 10, 15 years running and running a lot, and running became, you know, rather therapeutic in my life. And for many years, I described myself as sort of running away from myself through the sport. But then about 4 years ago, I finally got to a place where I thought I was strong enough that I could deal with this childhood trauma that had been, you know, following me along on every single day of my life and on every single run of my life. And I talked to my wife at that point and explained to her about the childhood trauma that I had never opened up about before. And I got some treatment for it at a place called the Gatehouse in Toronto. And because of that incredible place, I decided that I wanted to raise some money to help them out because they had basically saved my life, saved my marriage, saved a whole bunch of things around me. And so I went back to Boston the year after the bombings because I had been there on the streets when the bombs went off. And I thought it would be a great idea to go back and to run the marathon, but in some way make it a special commemoration for me, and going back into those things that scared me a lot, the childhood trauma, and then going back into the city itself after the terrorist incidents. So I went back that year, and I ran the marathon twice in the same day. I started at the finish line and ran out to the official start line in Hoppington, and then turned around with the rest of the athletes and ran back in. And, I mean, it was such a huge media success, the event, my double Boston, and it raised many, many thousands of dollars for this treatment program in Toronto. And I thought, well, you know what, as an athlete who has a little bit of a public profile, I thought this would be a great opportunity for me to continue this discussion around the prevalence of sexual violence in our society. So I decided to do something in Toronto the following year, and I ran the Toronto Waterfront Marathon three times that year.
So just to be clear, I mean, you're running the marathon once was not enough, so you did Boston twice, and then you figured, okay, if I can do Boston twice, I'll do Toronto three times. And so what time did you have to start in order to do that?
So I started just after midnight when I did the Triple Toronto, and I ran the course once, and then around 4 o'clock ran the course the second time, and then that got me into the finish line in time to start the third marathon of my day with everybody else running the marathon, and I ran it three times. So that was kind of a crazy experience, but the same thing
to
happened.
To say the least,
you know,
it
generated tons of media exposure and raised money for this issue. So then last year I ran Toronto four times on the same day. So that was 168.8 kilometers. And that, I mean, to be perfectly honest, that pretty much almost killed me and almost cured me of this multiple marathon addiction that I seem to be falling down.
But, almost, but not completely.
Almost. Well, and then that's the problem. Like every other runner, you know, who finishes her or his first or second marathon, you know, there's something in you that says, okay, I'm done. I don't need to do that again. But with time, as the aches and pains recede further and further from your brain, you start to think, well, maybe I got one more in me. And so this year I decided to run the marathon six times. And, you know, the singer Drake has nicknamed Toronto the Six because of our area code 416. So, I mean, being a social media junkie, I really love this hashtag Six and the Six. So I thought, hey, that'd be kind of cool if I ran the Toronto Waterfront Marathon six times. And so what I did was I went out on Friday, and I ran the course two consecutive times, and then on Saturday ran the course two consecutive times, and then on Sunday I went out at 2:30 a.m., ran the course once, and then that got me into downtown just in time to line up with the rest of the athletes and to run the course for the sixth time.
Right.
And that worked
including
out, that
me,
worked
by
out
the way.
Be,
including me. I was there running it once, just once.
Well,
yeah, along with thousands of others.
As I was lining up with all the athletes running it once, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I wish I had fresh legs, because it was a pretty good day to run a marathon.
Sure.
So that turned out to be 253.2 kilometers, and here I am 3 days out from that, and I think I'm going to officially tap out of this crazy multiple marathon thing. I'm not going to stop my platform in terms of speaking about the prevalence of childhood sexual abuse, but what I really want to do is find a way to bring more people into running and into this discussion, and to realize the potential that I think we all have within us. So that's really where I want to go next year.
Good for you. Now tell me, what does it take to run a double marathon, or three marathons in a row, or six marathons in 3 days? What kind of preparation do you need, and what do you need to be able to do when you're actually out there running?
Well, there are lots of things. I mean, there's the logistics. So there's, you know, talking to the race director. In my case, in Toronto, it's Alan Brooks, who's a good friend of mine and probably one of the greatest running ambassadors on our planet right now. But it's kind of working out the logistics with that individual, making sure that it's okay to do this, that it's, you know, it's fairly safe on the road to do this. It also, in my case, involves having a huge team of people behind me. So on this past weekend, over the course of those six marathons, at no time, and I mean at no time over the course of those six marathons, was I ever alone running. I mean, I had upwards of, I think, just about 225, 230 people with me over the course of those 3 days, either running, people coming along on bikes, people following in a support vehicle. So that's critical, because that keeps my mind fresh, and I don't have to worry about the hydration and the eating. People are just looking after me the whole way. So that was a very important part. The second thing is massive preparation. So leading up to the six marathons, I've spent about, you know, I'm a heavy-duty hardcore runner all year long, but I planned it for basically a four-month lead-up to the event, and I was maxing out at about 240 kilometers a week. And the goal for this one was, because I needed to go do a double marathon each day, which gave me about, you know, 7 or 8 hours after I'd finished the double marathon each day to go home, have an ice bath, get some nutrition, rest my legs, get some sleep, and then head back out the next day. I knew that I would be going out on really tired legs two times to do that.
Right.
So the way I trained for that was, instead of having one long run a week, I would have three long runs a week. And that typically looked like 30K on Friday, and then 45 to 50K on the Saturday, and then another 30K on the Sunday. So I did that, I think, 7 or 8 times over the course of the cycle. And then I did I think 4 or 5 long runs, like 55, 60K in there as well, with very little rest time off. And what I started to do on the long, long run, so on the Saturday run that was sandwiched between two 30Ks, is I would stop at about 40K, and I would, you know, pop into a local coffee shop, grab a coffee, and get some, like, solid food, yogurt and banana, in my stomach, and then right back out after I finished eating it to do the remaining 10 or 20K, just to get my stomach used to being,
sure,
you know, a little bit nauseous and running with some solid food in it, because I knew that was critical.
Yeah, because you have to take on food while you're doing all of this. Now,
you can't run on gels alone. That won't do it. That might get you through a marathon, but it won't get you through anything further than a marathon.
So, JP, I've got to ask you, what is the message that you want people to understand from this? What is it that you want to prove by what you've been able to do, these great accomplishments?
Well, I'm in the process right now of working. I'm writing a book on resilience, and I've been interviewing incredibly resilient people from all around the world. And basically the thesis of this book, and which I think is also the metaphor of why I run, is that I believe we are all incredibly resilient people. And what happens is, at certain points in our lives, we get to what I describe that edge of ourselves, that point where we think we can't go further. In marathons, we talk about this as being the wall. And that's the place where you think, you know, I'm done. I'm tapping out. I'm not going any further. There's nothing left of me. But I believe that we, if we push past that one part of us that says we can't do it or we're at the edge of ourselves, what we find on the other side of that is another beginning. And, you know, as a survivor of childhood trauma and as a recovering alcoholic and a drug addict, I have spent my entire life believing in new beginnings. And that's, I think, the beauty of our sport, running. It allows us to have this landscape from which we can paint a new beginning every time we lace up our shoes and head out the door. And I think it's kind of funny that running is such a solitary activity, but every runner I know believes that they are part of a broader, bigger, supportive community. And so that's another important part of the message. So for me, it's not so much to prove to myself how strong I am or how resilient I am. It's more to show to other people that really that strength that people see in me, I don't often recognize in myself, but it all starts from taking that first step and believing that you have enough strength to take that next step. I looked at my you know, fitness numbers and my tracking from the course of the six marathons I did over the last weekend, and I had a total of 289,000 steps.
Wow.
Over the course of those six marathons. And that's like 250,000 steps. If I had started out on that first of the six marathons and tried to contemplate that I needed to do 250,000 steps over the course of the next 3 days, there's no way I would have had the faith to keep going or even to try to do what I was about to do. But if you break things down into small steps, which running teaches us to do, I think, you know, really, it sounds so cliche, but the sky is the limit. We can really push ourselves to incredible places, not only inside of ourselves, but within this community of running.
Very true. Well, JP, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm so impressed and inspired by what you've done. Congratulations on another terrific accomplishment and the message that you are spreading. Thank you very much for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me, and congratulations to everybody who got out there and put in a good run on the weekend.
Yeah, not quite like yours, but still lots of other people had great runs on the weekend. Thanks, JP.
Thanks again.
That's JP Bedard, who ran the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon 6 times last weekend. Coming up next, we're going to meet the incredible 79-year-old runner, Florence Barron. We'll be right back. iRun Radio is brought to you by New Balance Canada, whose 806 VH, released this month, is the perfect new road shoe whether your distance is the 5K or the marathon. The 806 V8 is fast, light, and comfortable, the perfect shoe for helping you reach a new PB. Welcome back to iRun Radio. Our next guest is the incredible Florence Barron, who is 79 years old. She just completed the Cape to Cabot 20K race in St. John's, Newfoundland in record time. Florence, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Let's start, before we talk more about the Cape to Cabot run, about your love for running. When did this start? And remind us of the story of how you got into this and what's kept you going.
Well, I've been always a bit of a fitness fanatic, you know, all my life, but I started to run when I was 59, and I started off doing a very popular race here called Telly 10, so I got a medal for it, a gold medal, and I thought, oh, this is great, and I'll do it again. So I did that for a couple of years without any training, and got a medal. So I thought, oh my, and my daughter mentioned for me to take some running lessons, which I wasn't aware of at all because I lived in another remote area that we didn't have that. And so I started training then with the running room, and I learned so much, and, you know, it helped me so much that I continued, and I started to enjoy it more. And so the rest was history. I just kept on running.
Yeah. And tell us about some of the things that you've done. You've done many different events, obviously, but what are some of the highlights?
Well, the thing is, I register for all the little races around during the summertime. There's like 5Ks, 8K, 10K, half marathon, you know, Cape de Cabot. And there is a race in St. Pierre-Miquelon that's a 25K. Year before, I broke the record over there. And this year, I broke my own record. I broke my record this year in all of the races that I did.
In all of them?
I worked a little harder because I'm now 79, and I know I'm coming out of this category, and I wanted to raise the bar a little bit. So I really followed the program through this year, and it paid off for me.
So you wanted to finish your 70s with a bang and with a bunch of records.
Yeah, kind of.
So tell me about a couple of them. Give me the numbers on some of the records.
Well, the 25K, I did. I beat my time by 15 minutes.
Wow.
I did it in 2 hours and 21 minutes. And the 10 miles, which is the Tele 10 this year, I beat my record there by 3 minutes. So I did it in 87 minutes. And then in the Cape de Cabot, I had the record there, which I beat, you know, by a minute. But that's a grueling race, and I wasn't even going for that. I was just running because I enjoy the running, and just for the love of it, I guess that's all. And I was surprised then when I even beat my record at that.
So you're running 10 miles in under an hour and a half. That's 16 kilometers in just under an hour and a half, 87 minutes or an hour 27. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
That's a good time at any age.
Yeah. Well, I think I was there. I think I was 89%, you know, fast in the women's in that race.
Right, among all the women.
I think like close to 3,000 women, and I was 299.
299 out of close to 3,000 women of all ages.
Yeah, or 289, I don't know, something like that. Anyway, I don't bother with it, but I see, you know, other people always tell me, oh, you got 89% of the women. You know, that ran.
You finished ahead of 89% of the women, even some women who were half your age.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Oh, it's really good. I'm always excited about it, but, you know, I'm not one to boast about it, but it does feel good when I, you know, when I can beat younger ones.
Sure.
So,
Absolutely. And tell me about the Cape de Cabot race, because you mentioned it's grueling. It's an uphill race, effectively, right?
It's an uphill and down. There's only 3 kilometers of flat. The rest is extreme up and extreme down. So the downhill is pretty rugged as well, because there's a long downhill, you know, which is pretty hard on your joints that way, you know. But I do it, and I feel fine. I didn't have any sore muscles afterwards. And I feel good, like, after all the races, actually. And I kind of got my second win when I got down off the steep hill, which was maybe three or 4 kilometers down. And then the flat, and I just took off and went for the mile uphill. And it is straight up. There's no doubt about that. And they usually measure that mile when you get to the bottom of the street where it starts. They measure that mile and see how long it takes people to get up there, you know. After running almost 20 kilometers and then you have to go straight up, it's a bit rugged.
Yeah, but you
but
did
I
it.
I did it, and I think a lot of it is, like, I never have any injuries. Like, I don't be off during the summer with any issues and with my joints, and people always ask me that about my ankles and knees and everything. And I think because I cross-train quite a bit, I like hiking and ice skate in the winter, and I swim, and I do, you know, aerobic exercises. And tonight, actually, we have our strength training program lessons, well, which is a part of the running club that I'm involved in here. So I do the strength training, and I do yoga, and, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're an inspiration. What is it that you like so much about running, though? Why do you enjoy it so much?
I don't know. It's something I've always been, like I said, I always like to do some kind of fitness. It's kind of therapy for me. It's a stress reliever, whatever. I'm always like an upbeat person, but I still, you know, if I can't get that workout within a couple of days, I'm not in good form. So it's something that I'm addicted to, I say. And once I commit myself to something, then, you know, I do, I have the desire to go, and I have to, you know, I have to go. I do that. I don't know.
And you're about to, as you mentioned, enter a new age group. So you're going to be 80 years old, and presumably there'll be a bunch of new records you could break at that point, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I would think so. If they, you know, some of the races, they have 80 plus, and then there's some of them not, you know, like it goes from 70 to 99, but these are the smaller races. But
yeah.
I know that in Tele 10, that 10 miler, that there is an age, you know, and I want to break that next year. And I know I will do that easy enough, right?
And do you have other races that you would still like to do? Are there other events that that you'd love to try?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, all the races that I do from summer to summer, you know, season to season, I will sign up again for them and run.
But I meant maybe something you haven't done before. Is there another race you want to do?
Not really. My friends go different places to do marathons or half marathons. I haven't really, except going to Miquelon, St. Pierre Miquelon, for that 25K run. Maybe this year, who knows, I might just go somewhere else and do one, you know. But
you like to do the races that you do every year. You like doing them year in and year out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just stay around home because I like, then I can get my training. I can get my rest. I find that I do need my sleep, and especially leading up to a race. And
right.
That's, you know, so. Yeah.
Have you done any marathons?
No, just half marathons.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Florence, you're an absolute inspiration, and it's amazing to me, not just that you're running and enjoying all of these events, but that you're running so fast, because those, as I said, are some times that many younger people would be thrilled with, to run 10 miles in 87 minutes, or to run, what was it, 25K in 2 hours and 20-something minutes? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Good for you.
21 minutes.
Yeah.
But anyway, a lot of the younger people say that to me. They're all so nice. They all say, oh, you're my inspiration, and I can't catch you. I want to catch you. I can see you on ahead of me. And I always have a chuckle and say, okay, you know, if you, I'm glad I inspire you. If you want to catch me, you just got to run faster.
Very well said. Well, Florence, thank you so much for joining us on the show once again.
Oh, you're so welcome.
That's Florence Barron of St. John's, Newfoundland. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Sanjay Mohanta of Ottawa, who ran his 110th marathon last weekend in Toronto. We'll be right back. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. 4 races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Welcome back to I Run Radio. Ben and I met lots of great people at the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon last weekend. One of them was a runner from Ottawa. I've interviewed him a few times before. His name is Sanjay Mohanta, and he has run more than 100 marathons. Sanjay, thanks for joining us again.
Oh, thanks for having me on. It's always great to run into you these playthings.
All right, so you have done 109 marathons.
That's correct.
Remind everybody about how this all got started for you.
Yeah, so it was in 2003, my father was diagnosed with stomach cancer, and it was stage 4, and he never knew me as an athlete, so I thought I'd train to run for, at that time, the half marathon in Gloucester. And I finished it, I did well, and he died 2 weeks after that. So I had signed up for the Cumberland half after that, and I thought I'd just keep going, run my first. And I did, and no one believed me. And then I'd signed up for Scotiabank, actually, for my second marathon, and I ran into Faluja Singh, who was, at that time, I think, 93, and he was running his first marathon. And I thought, what excuse do I have if a 93-year-old man who was only training for only 4 years prior, started running at 89, can do this, then I should be able to do this. And the one skill I think I had was I recovered faster than most other runners at the gym. So right now, this is my fifth marathon in 5 weekends. The last three of those that I've done with a bad back and bad IT band, but I've always finished. So I'm looking to do that now, just to finish and be okay. And I have a two-week break before I do any others, so...
Okay, a two-week break. Wow, you're really taking time off. So you have done 109 marathons basically in 14, 15 years, something like that.
Correct. I did 17 full marathons last year. I'll probably end up doing about 18 this year. Sunday will be my 15th full marathon this year.
Okay. And is there a secret to being able to do so many in 1 year? Is it that you try not to go as fast, that you train differently? What's the secret?
I think my secret is that I always keep learning new things. When I did the Massey Marathon in June, it was kind of a hot day. I started cramping up at 36K. I met a runner from the States. It was the 626 Marathon. He had run the day before in Edmonton, flew into Toronto at midnight, rented a car, drove to Massey, got there 10 minutes before the race start, had his gear on from the day before, his bib on from the day before, put his bib over and ran, and he watched me, and he said, I saw that you're suffering a lot of magnesium loss. And I said, how can you tell? And he said, you're taking a lot of Gatorade that has sodium, potassium, not enough magnesium. And as we were having dinner, everything cramped up, and I dropped my utensils, and I said, I think I'm in trouble. And he gave me a little package. It looked like a package that you get cocaine in, to tell you the truth, but it had two pills. He said, take those right away. And it just, everything relaxed, and he explained why I need certain magnesium, and he told me what things to change in my diet. And that changed everything for my races after that. I mean, I don't cramp up anymore. But it was so. I'm always learning new things, always trying new things, and I think that's my secret. I don't have a secret. I just keep learning from everyone around me.
And you have met a lot of people who have run more marathons than you.
Yeah, well, Larry Mason, I think he's one of the runners you interviewed. He's running his 2000th marathon this December in San Antonio, Texas. He's a lawyer, and he's in the Guinness Book of Records because I think he did 267 marathons in 1 year. Alexis Davidson, he's close to 340 marathons now. He did 42 full marathons last year. So you meet a lot of the same runners over and over again, and they've been great in sort of keeping me in tune as to what races to go to. Very encouraging, and always pushing me to do better and try more. You know, whether you come in first or last, you both ran 26 miles or 42K, so be proud of that fact, but also learn that you learn something from every race. You learn about yourself as you do it. For me, and I try to explain this to other runners, and yourself, Mark, you've got a five-hour drive home after this, so you have to make sure you're good enough and hydrated enough at the finish line that you get home without passing out or cramping on the 401. So that's also something to keep in mind as I do the races.
So why, Sanjay, why do you do so many of them? Why not just do a few every year, two or three, instead of doing 18?
Well, this year, I must admit, every time I've done a race different that's in the Northeast U.S., I've always enjoyed it. I've always loved the experience of being there, being in a town, being in a new city. There's a race last weekend in South Hero, Vermont, called the Green Mountain Marathon. I didn't do it, but
I've done that one.
Yeah, it was only $55 to register the day of the race. And free parking at the start. When you cross the finish line, you go into a farmer's field, so you get free apple cider, free apple pie. Experiences like that. And last year during the election, it was great. I heard so many stories about who the people are going to vote for. It was a fantastic experience. So with a tank of gas living in Ottawa, you can do a lot of races. And when you do those races, you'll meet people that will encourage you to do their own races. Americans are very patriotic and very proud. And it doesn't take much to twist my arm to drive an extra few hours to do a race the following weekend.
So, but you must get something out of it, obviously, the experience of doing so many of them. What is it that you enjoy about that?
What I like about it, for someone who's always had weight issues, I like it because I know that when I cross that finish line, athletically, I can do that. And it makes me forget that I have those issues when I finish. And like I said, it's a great experience in the world, meeting people from all over the place and meeting people you wouldn't normally come across. You know, Alexis Davison is from New York. He was there during 9/11. His stories about 9/11 are amazing. But a lot of the New York-based runners are. So you don't get that reading newspapers in Ottawa.
So it's a social thing. It's a mind-opening thing. And I know you also have a story about every city you visit, right?
That's right.
You like to explore the community that you're visiting. You know what the museums are. You know
right.
what some of the sites are.
Yes.
So do you have a favorite marathon and a favorite place you've visited out of all of the 109 you've done so far?
Yeah, I love Pittsburgh. I didn't expect to like it as much as I did, but I did because they shot the movie Batman Forever there. So there's a lot of bridges there, so it's pretty that way. There's a big statue of Mr. Rogers. There's a Big Mac Museum you can go and visit. There's a state park right downtown. And there's also a comic book museum. When I went there and I told them I was from Canada, they gave me a free comic book. So very friendly people. But yeah, and if you're doing Philly at the end of November, remember, every junk food in America was made in Philly. So there's the 12,000 calorie junk food tour that you can sign up for after the race. I'm too chicken for it, but hey, it's out there if you want to do that.
All right. And are there any races that you've done so many now that you can barely remember anymore? That does it become a blur at a certain point?
You know, it's not so much the race as the stories behind the races, and those stories are still very much alive with me. So in that point of view, I've never really had a bad race per se, because even the races where, let's say, I did run into trouble, I learned so much afterwards from all the runners around me who saw me in trouble or could see me early on getting into trouble and told me how to stop that from happening. So I'd say the warmth and friendliness of the runners around you is what makes it so great and makes you keep coming back. And honestly, it's worth the drive. It really is worth the drive if you're willing to drive. I did Columbus, Ohio last weekend, and it was to raise money for the Children's Hospital. At mile 8, we passed the Children's Hospital, and all the patients were out to high-five all the runners. And that's a tremendous experience. So it's worth to drive down for that. And when you go to pick up your race kit, there's a huge statue of Arnold Schwarzenegger in the front, because that's where he has his Arnold Schwarzenegger bodybuilding classic. So that's cool, too. So like I said, a small town like Columbus, where they used to have the last McDonald's and made the McPizza, because that's why I signed up for it. But before I got there, I found out that McDonald's told them to shut down. So I missed that out, but still go down to Columbus. It's a great city.
Okay, good to know. You know all these facts about all these places. So do you drive to most of these events?
I do drive to most of these events. I did fly to Fort Lauderdale and to Myrtle Beach earlier this year. The great thing about driving, of course, as people will tell you about the different towns, like there's a place called Mansfield, Ohio, and someone said if I watched the movie Shawshank Redemption, that's where they shot it in, so I can go off the highway for my meal after and drive around and see those things. They explained to me that the big tree there was hit by lightning, so I missed that, but again, you wouldn't really think of that flying over. You'll miss all that. So,
and are there any races that you have not done yet that you really want to do?
I'm doing one coming up in a couple weeks in Richmond, Virginia. It's their 40th anniversary. The only reason I'm doing that is because in Charlottesville, I didn't realize this, but Trump owns a big winery, and you can't get their wine anywhere else but there. I don't drink, but I know. But apparently his wines win a lot of awards in Virginia. So I'm just actually going there to buy wine for people who I know drink. So I'm kind of looking forward to that, as weird as that sounds.
What's the farthest you've driven to do a marathon?
Farthest? I did one in Piney Point, Maryland. It's about a 14-hour drive. And I guess I was the first international runner. So every water station I went, they said, hey, there's a Canadian. There's a Canadian. So that was kind of cool.
All right. Well, Sanjay, keep going. It's amazing. It's remarkable. And I love hearing the stories you tell, not just about the races, but about the cities you've visited. Thanks for joining us.
And more importantly, the people there, too. So yeah. Thanks for doing this, Mark.
That's Sanjay Mohanta of Ottawa, who ran marathon number 110 last weekend in Toronto. And that's it for iRun Radio this week. Coming up on next week's show, we're going to share the story of an amputee runner who just finished his first marathon. A very inspiring story. I hope you can join us then. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.